The scripture today is from Mark 4, verses 30 through 34. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples.
Always liked this parable. But to tell you the truth, I still think a mustard seed is such a strange thing to use for the kingdom of God. Jesus probably should have said something like, "The kingdom of God is like the sea. It's vast and it's deep." Or maybe the kingdom of God is like the sky. It arches over everything. It's always present everywhere, but it's kind of just out of reach. Or if he wanted to stick with the seed thing, he could have said, "The kingdom of God is like an acorn that grows into a tall oak, or better yet, the cedars of Lebanon." That's what people were expecting, right? It makes a lot more sense. But a mustard seed? It's so small, it gets lost in the palm of your hand. That's what the kingdom of God is like. A seed so small you can barely see it. You know, mustard isn't even a tree. It's a bush, a weed even. Why not pick something stronger, something bigger, something grander? But a tiny little seed that when it does grow, just turns into something that you can't get rid of? That's the kingdom of God? Really? I mean, that's kind of pathetic, right? A small little seed, that's it? It's hard to get excited about something so small. It's even a little disheartening. Yeah, it can be. If I'm honest, there are times when I feel disheartened, where I feel discouraged. I mean, bigger is always better, right? So there are times when I find myself feeling a little low, wishing I served a bigger church with a bigger budget. Y'all know we had to postpone our annual meeting today because all the pledge cards didn't get turned in. Now, it's not that we think that they won't. We have faith in you. But the board could not present a budget if we didn't have the numbers. Man, do I wish I lived in a situation where I didn't have to worry about numbers, where we had a big church with a big budget and a big staff. But at this church, we only have one full-time staff member, and you're looking at her. It gets hard when you're trying to run a church, and you have only one person who works full-time, and for the last nearly 2 months, I've been part-time. So it's no wonder. With part-time staff, it's hard to run a church. It is. We've got a part-time office manager in Cindy Condit who does a wonderful job. She shares her heart with us, and she makes sure our facility runs smoothly. We have an interim music director in Mike Phillips, who sure is amazing. That interim title is going to fall off real quick because this guy is the real deal. Ask any of our music team. We don't have a Sunday school coordinator anymore, but we're getting by with a couple of paid Sunday school teachers. But I can't help but dream about that church, that imaginary church where you full-time everybody, you're even a part-time coordinator in this case. It's easy to wish for money, more people. I think that would solve all our problems, right? Well, we're surrounded by megachurches here, right? That's Orange County. The megachurch was practically born here, with the Crystal Cathedral first, then Calvary Chapel and good old Saddleback Church. Sometimes I get church envy. I admit it. I wish I were like them, or even a quarter of them. It'd be nice to have that big budget and never have to call around to get a volunteer to do something. No need to worry about greeters or the peace candle or refreshments. No counting pennies and praying for a raise. Sometimes I do get a little envious of those big guys. But then I remember they're all guys. That's why I don't want to be at a church like that. I don't really want to be them. Physically, I can't be, can I? But Jesus never said the kingdom of God is like a megachurch with a big budget and a large staff. He said it's like a mustard seed, the kind that gets lost in the palm of your hand. Huh. A little seed like that. A seed that when it grows, runs wild, can't be so easily stomped out, just keeps coming back year after year, the thing that won't die. A seed like that, that's where the kingdom of God resides. Tiny little seed. So maybe a little church like ours ain't such a bad place to be after all. It's easy to get caught up in the size matters game. In a culture like ours, we want everything supersized. And let's face it, in this land of megachurches, anything under 200 looks tiny, so we're small. But small isn't really that bad. In fact, it has its advantages. A couple of weeks ago, I attended the Southern California Nevada Conference of the United Church of Christ's annual gathering. While there, I went to a workshop that was led by a woman from the National Church. It was called Innovation and Inspiration, What's New in the UCC? And she talked about churches that were successful and healthy, and what characteristics each of them had. Now, most of these churches were a lot like ours, maybe even smaller, but all of them were healthy, doing the work of God and living out the kingdom of God. So here's what I learned. The churches were focused on one or more of the following. They had a specific articulation of queer support. They were focused on religious healing from those who had been hurt from other churches and thus in need of making new religious homes. They were not focused on Sunday morning. They had interfaith aspects. They had a missional organization connected to the church. They focused on food justice. They had digital and/or online ministries. There was a specific focus on youth and children. There was a focus on homelessness and/or ending poverty. They are bilingual. There's a focus on small groups, a focus on storytelling. There is explicit activism and community organizing, a specific focus on native/indigenous support, a bar-based ministry, and finally, revitalization of Sunday worship. So maybe you were like me, making mental notes, ticking off checks. Well, we're small, but hey, we have a clear articulation of queer support, hence our incredible fun march yesterday in the Pride Parade. And we focus on religious healing. We have lots of people who have left other churches, having either become disillusioned, hurt, or just tired of the institution. We have interfaith aspects, don't we? We used to have a day called Interfaith Dialogue Days, and I think it's time to bring those back. Digital and online ministries, that's pretty cool. I'll give us maybe half a check there, because we have podcasts that run every single week, and we have an incredible social network that supports and cares for one another, connecting us throughout the week. Bilingual? Pues, yo fui a Guatemala para aprender español. En mi sabático hace 6 años. Y fuimos 2 veces para una misión allá. Tal vez regresamos en el próximo año. Vamos a ver. No sé. So, voy a tomar un mitad de cheque en este también. A focus on small groups? Well, we have a women's group, a men's group, TOT, and a study group that meets with Wise Up Wednesdays. Explicit activism and organization? As Molly's favorite book says, check, check, and triple check. We got that one. Bar-based ministry? Yep, I'd say theology on Tuesdays counts for that. We hit quite a number on that list, and I'd likely give us a couple checks or half checks for some of those others, too. We've got the recipe to be a healthy, vital church. Only problem I keep coming back to is we're small. But wait, didn't we learn anything from Jesus? Being small isn't a problem, so we probably should stop thinking of it as one. Sure, it's a challenge. That's for real. But it's in the smallest of seeds that the kingdom of God resides. So instead of lamenting, we should probably start imagining why Jesus might have chosen that metaphor among all the metaphors he could have picked from to illustrate the kingdom of God. Because the truth is, size itself doesn't matter. What does matter is experiencing God and then going out and doing God's work. So being small in itself doesn't have to be a bad thing. We need to stop acting like it is. The best thing about being in a small church is that in a small church, everyone matters. And that's true, isn't it? It is a challenge, yes, because it matters if you don't come to church. Then the church feels empty. If you don't pledge, then we cannot put together a budget. Everyone matters because everyone plays a role in making church church. And that's a good thing. That's a darn good thing. Actually, those folks who study churches happen to think that the small church is the next big thing. I actually even read an article with that title. That's one of the reasons that megachurches are so often splitting off and planting new churches, because they're identifying that trend and trying to figure out how to adjust to it. People don't want to get lost in a sea of others. They want to matter. Think about it. That might be why you yourself are here today. That's why I chose a small church. I wanted to be a pastor of a church where I would know everybody in the church. I want to know you. I want to know your stories. I want to know what you were up to this week, to hear about your vacations, especially March, to go to your kids' plays, to go to graduations. And I want to be in a church where I can make a difference, where my actions matter. I don't want to get lost in the crowd. And I'd guess that maybe that's the reason why you're here too. It turns out we're not alone. Church researchers report that millennials who go to church are preferring to go to small churches. Why? Because they value relationships. And hey, we got relationships. Now here's the thing, they don't want a small church just because it's small. They want a church that reflects their values. As the author of that article I mentioned, Carl Vader, says, millennials won't give up quality to gain intimacy, and they shouldn't have to. Those who decide to go to church aren't looking for the church their parents built. He reminds us that millennials are used to high-quality experiences in everything, and they won't settle for less. In addition, millennials don't want a big Sunday morning stage show as much as they want genuine intimacy and relationships. So small churches can offer them exactly what they want if we are intentional. He continues, small doesn't mean cheap, shoddy, lazy, or low quality. But what millennials mean by quality will also be different than what their parents meant. Too often for boomers, quality has meant excess. Sorry, boomers. Glitz. Over-the-top bling. For any kind of church, however, quality can be summed up in one word, health. Health starts by getting the basics right. So what does Vader say the basics are? He says it's real-world Bible teaching, genuine relationships, practical ministry opportunities, clean, safe childcare, and yes, competent musicianship on the worship team. So I feel pretty good about those basics, you know? For the most part, we got them. So that's worth celebrating. There's a reason why all of us come here, and it's not dependent upon whether or not we attract millennials, but I have a feeling that some of the reasons why we come are the same reasons why they and others might come. We're looking for a place where we belong, where we don't get lost in a crowd, and where people actually care about our stories and want us to join along the journey. We want to go to a church that believes that not only do we belong, but others do too. No one is excluded because of who they are, what they look like, who they love, or even what they believe. We believe that ultimately it all comes down to love. Love means love. And that means that we have to stand up for one another. So we do things like march in the Pride Parade and cry out against injustice when families are torn apart. We get that just because we're small doesn't mean we are silent, and it certainly doesn't mean we're weak. Heck, we all know the story of David and Goliath, right? He was the runt of the family who defeated the most powerful of warriors. The story of our faith is that size doesn't matter. We have power. And we at Fairview, we have faith. It's easy to get down because we're small. But the thing is, we're small because we're doing something different. We're unique. We're small because not everybody likes what we're doing. And that's okay. In a conservative county like this one, it's not surprising that we don't have the numbers of the mega churches that surround us. But the reason why they do is that they're not out there sharing a bold message. David was little, but David was bold. Jesus was bold. But unfortunately, to appeal to the masses, you can't really be bold. So no wonder we aren't a mega church. I mean, you can hardly throw a stone around here without hitting one of the mega churches. But in the same vein, you can pretty much guess what they're going to look like. Sure, they will have an awesome band, guarantee it. They're going to have a cool stage with a pastor. It's usually a guy who has his iPad with impressive technology. And I can't lie, I'm a little jealous. There will be coffee. There will be handouts. There will be a lot of cool things. But it's going to look pretty much the same from church to church. In order to appeal to the many, they have to refrain from saying anything controversial. They'll be forced to water down Jesus' words because he's just too radical for them. But here's the thing. We aren't generic. We're bold. We're a whole lot like that little David, because while we might be small, we are brave. Gosh, when I think about the things that we've done over the years, I'm stunned, really. I look back and I think, wow, we have made national news at least half a dozen times. That's incredible. Honestly, I don't think that Mariners of the Crossing have made national news. I don't know, but I sure know we have. People always think that we're bigger than we are whenever I'm out in the community, because they know that we're the go-to church when it comes to issues of justice. Think about it. When it comes to the LGBT community, we're one of the handful of churches who is open, welcoming, and affirming. We partner with the largest and strongest Muslim community in CARE, and we're their first call whenever they need help. Why? Because they know that we're here for them, that we are not afraid of people who are different from us. In fact, we know that God is at work in them just as in us. We're not afraid to speak out that Black lives do matter, just as we affirm that every life matters, especially as we are reminded in this time that every family matters too, even those that come from the other side of the border. If we're small, because the majority of Christians in Orange County don't want to go to a church where a woman is the pastor, where gay couples don't have to hide who they are, and Black people know that they're part of the kingdom of God, then God bless us for being small. Because I don't want to be big if it means I can't follow Jesus all the way. I'd rather be a little seed. I'd rather be bold. God has blessed us. And God has blessed us with one another. Bless us with this community, with this family, to be seeds. Yes. To experience the kingdom of God and then go out and spread that news like a wild weed. We're not going to be silenced. We're not going to be shushed just because we're small. You guys, I don't care. I don't care if we're small. As long as we're small together, loving one another, championing each other, making room for more to come through those doors and join us on this journey, because they are welcome to, no matter who they are. But right now, it's up to you and me. And we can do this. We can, and we are. We are each called to do our part to bring about the kingdom, to grow the seed, to boldly bear the message of God's love in carrying the light into the world. So we need to do it together. Do us a favor. Turn those pledge cards in. If you can increase your pledge, do so. You can always turn in a revised pledge card. I'm sure Alonso will be happy to see it. Consider bumping up to that next level. Stretch yourself if you can. And then call a friend. If they aren't here today, let them know that we miss them. Invite them back. Tell them that next week we're starting our summer series and it's going to be so much fun. Notice who's missing and send them a note of encouragement. Go ahead, you can get out right now. You can stop listening. Just pick those green cards up and start writing. My mom always tells me this story about how we had stopped coming to church and it was months on end. But it was just because we got out of the habit of going. And there was another church member, not the pastor, who made a phone call, told us that they missed us, and brought us back in. Thank God she did, because had she not done that, I might not even be here today. Let us live into the best small church we can possibly be. Investing in our relationships, living boldly into our ministry, following Jesus fearlessly, and loving the world with open arms and loud voices. The wildest weed in all of Orange County. Amen.